A path underfoot. Slow progress because of the mist and the dark of the night. Streetlights exist, but their glow is intermittent, more like fireflies than lighthouses in the dark. Mist, coiling, curling, seemingly with a life of its own, as it moves aside just a few feet in front of you, and then closes behind once you have passed. There's a refuge in that miasma. You'll be happy to get in out of this cooling, cloying place. It's warm in its own way, but there is a breeze, there is water in the air. Mist. Sight obscuring. Little creepy. Familiar from so many movie intros. This town must be near to the sea, for the mist to creep up and surround you like this. There is that faint chill, an undercurrent to an otherwise muggy night. It actually feels very pleasant if you're in the right mindset, contrasting with the humidity. But here, you'd just as soon welcome the warmth of inside any of these houses. The road below is old-style cobble, and you see a few vendors' stalls, long closed for today, of course. There are more modern shops mixed here and there, and they resolve out of the mist and then fade back into it, recaptured, consumed as you pass. Ahead on the left side of the road is a huge building, compared to these others. 3 stories tall, at least, towering over the street. You come nearer and details become more clear. A light out front, brighter than the streetlights. There's space on either side of this big building. It doesn't share a wall with anything else. It has a little yard with sculpted hedges and some hardy plants that have hung on even this late in the year. There's a cobbled path up to the door, and the outside features ancient stone masonry, apparently repaired until it shines with confidence, but the marks of age and craftsmanship are there. Windows all over. The top floor has a shared balcony between 2 huge windows that stretch from floor to ceiling, so that must be a single suite. The sign bears no name, just painted in red paint. The Inn. Fair enough. You didn't knock for fear of waking anyone, so your hand touches the door, and you pull it open, quietly. It's well oiled and slides open, without any sound. The hairs on the back of your neck rise, but you step across the threshold. Within is the scent of cooking, and the true warmth of a comfortable place made for people to feel safe. When you close the door behind you, you notice someone is at the front desk. A pleasant-looking older woman with a little cloth cap. She holds out a key. 3rd floor. We've been waiting for you. I hope you enjoy your stay. You're barely in the door, but there isn't much distance between the entrance and the desk. You take the time to look at the wood-paneled walls. The stone facade outside must be well insulated in between to give rise to so much warmth in here. Wooden floors, apparently, but like the door and the masonry, they're in good repair, well oiled, well polished. They barely creak. A series of coat hooks off to one side. A couch against the opposite wall for people waiting in the lobby. You see a small dining room for guests through a nearby wooden arch. And a kitchen beyond. Someone must be fixing a midnight snack. You smell something savory on the boil. This place is calm and peaceful. The woman steps out from behind the desk. But since you have no luggage except for a rucksack slung over your shoulder, she merely curtsies and steps away toward the kitchen, after making sure you've got what you need. A little escape, a small vacation. The stairs are easy to climb, landings after every 5 steps or so, a slight curve. Upward, ascending toward that room with the balconies, the one you spotted from outside. The whole top floor is for you. When you push the wooden door inward, you find it already unlocked. The key you have doesn't actually seem to fit anything out here anyway. There's no visible lock on the outside. The room is nice. It's really a whole suite. You see a bathroom off to one side, a little wardrobe on the opposite end of the room. There is a lock on the inside of the door, but it's just a bar and latch, only usable while you are in the room. But you see a little locker at the foot of the bed, secured to the floor by chains, and the key you have must fit the lock to that, so you can seal up anything you need to leave here while you're gone. Next to that chest is a huge four-poster bed. It has lustrous hangings of blue silk that fall to the floor, gorgeous in the moonlight. Moonlight is clearer here above the mist, and this whole room is immaculate in white and blue. Your own place. The windows are closed, but they're really doors that you could open. The good insulation and the fireplace on the floor below might make it a little stuffy up here. Could be a good idea to open one of them now. French doors with curved handles, what you thought were windows from the ground or the gateway to the balcony. The curtains are lacy, but you see a second room-darkening set tied back, if you wanted to close them and sleep in. Right now, though, you pull aside those curtains, hooking them into brass retaining loops. Then you pull the doors inward, turning the handles. There's a little pin in the floor which you raise, holding the doors open against any breezes. Unlike the cobble and stone masonry look of the rest of this place, the balcony is set with close-fitted blue tile, modern and quite attractive. Your shoes click on them as you look out over the misty town. You see the sea beyond. The moon is high and just waxing toward full. Back into the room, you walk over to the bed. You place your pack down on the chest and step away, looking over it all. A cool breeze enters from the balcony, blowing through the warmth inside. You have the luxury of choosing cooler air for a time, so you sit on the edge of the bed, slowly beginning to get undressed and get ready to lay down. Get as comfortable as you can be. You lay back on the bed, laid across it lengthways. The hangings make you feel safe, comforted, surrounded. This is your space, after all. The mattress is just soft enough to sink very slightly under you and welcome you in when you lay back on it. There's a heavy blanket folded at the foot of the bed, but light sheets and a coverlet might be enough in the warmth of this inn. Ah, right, you didn't bar the door to this room. Don't want to be bothered. You'll be able to rest as long as you want. You consider getting up to bar it. Maybe adjust how wide the balcony door is as well, so you get just a slight breeze. Your body begins to move. Heh. A chuckle, a bit derisive, from the balcony's direction. Slowly your gaze shifts to see who is there. Moonlight dapples a woman with skin already pale, a body quite curvy, average build, but hugged by a long red dress with a shawl in matching crimson across her shoulders, gold trim, pixie-cut hair, dark brown, a little untidy, a smile that lights up her whole face, genuine. She has red lips as well, lurid colors framing white teeth. Two of these are inverted, a bit like reverse fangs pointing upward rather than down. But that's the second most interesting thing about her mouth, because next to them are real fangs, pointed incisors, adding an air of menace to the grin. A little pair of black glasses, with gray-tinted lenses that hide her eyes. If the moon wasn't so bright, surely those lenses would make it hard to see. She speaks. They keep renting this thing out. They hide the rumors well. She's standing just outside the balcony doors. Your feet find the floor and you take a few quick steps toward the exit, the door back toward the safety of the rest of the inn. You pull. Wait. Nope, you're still pulling open the door and about to go. So she shifts her voice. Hey, wait, wait, that should have worked. Hear me out. She sounds slightly more desperate now, confused even. It isn't very polite to just walk out on me. You look back over your shoulder. She beckons with one long finger. The nails are painted silver, neatly set off in the moonlight. Her hands are white, ghostly pale. You don't go any nearer, but she isn't stepping any closer to you either. So you let go of the door. Her behavior seems off a little. You don't slide the bolt home on the inside of the door, so you can still go if you have to. Oh, right, that's why. She seems to have just remembered something. As both hands rise up toward her face, you notice blue spiral tattoos running from just above her wrist down her arms. Her eyes. Yes, she takes off her glasses and reveals her eyes, folding the glasses, tucking them into a small denim fabric purse she has slung across one shoulder. There's a gold ring on each of her fingers, even with the diamonds flickering in the light. She speaks. Right, I always forget to take those off. Sorry for the inconvenience. Her eyes are unusual. It was hard to see it through the tinted glasses. These are normal eyes touched with reddish-purple light. A maroon shift, just a little bit off from anything you've ever seen before. And they shimmer like a cat's. The light in them grows a little brighter when she moves her head to look right at you, glowing in the dark. Silver and purple beams cutting the moonlit room. Lock the door. Your hands find the bolt and slide it home. No clue why you did that. The eyes really are weird. Genetic condition? Pretty, though. You keep looking right into them. Shouldn't you shake hands with a new neighbor? Right, where are your manners? Your feet move precisely, normally, but it is as if you are seeing the reasonable actions of your body through a sleepwalker's eyes. You know there is nothing to be done, except following through, doing what she wants. You turn away from the entrance to the room and begin walking toward the balcony door instead. She is standing on the blue tiles outside, the moon overhead. No roof over her, but she reaches her hand toward the door. You see the silver paint on the nails, the blue markings running up her arms and under the shawl she's wearing. Her hand has not crossed the threshold of that door, so as you step closer, you extend your own outside a little bit. Her hair falls slightly over one eye, shaped to the side as it is, short, cute. She has very red lips. She licks them with her pink tongue, and when you extend your hand to meet hers, she takes hold of it in a firm handshake. Then she scoops her own fingers under your hand and raises your hand ever so slowly toward her lips. Her eyes dim. They are no longer quite so bright, quite so captivating. Her hand is quite cold. In a cheerful voice, she imparts, "Nice to meet you," and leans forward. She kisses the back of your hand. Enchanté. You detect the scent of cinnamon and cloves this close to her. She doesn't lean past the edge of the balcony door, nor does she try to pull you out. Instead, she extends the kiss. You feel her wet lips, her tongue, running teasingly over the back of your hand. A tingle, a numbness. Her lips fasten and you feel her sucking on the flesh a little. Just kissing, a prolonged smooch. The kiss is long and slow. You feel heat flowing back down your arm. Throb, throb, throb. A warmth between your legs that you cannot deny. Your eyes fixated on hers, but she broke contact to look down at your hand, and so the only eyes of hers you see are in your mind, but that's enough. You look at her leaning over the back of your hand. You notice her shapely shoulders in that dress. Cleavage visible only because she has leaned forward and because you're looking for it. The kiss ends with a loud smacking sound, and you still feel strange arousal growing within you, throbbing, making your breathing a little deeper, a little more soothing. The scent of her perfume, if that spicy note is indeed perfume and not something she has touched or something about her, but nonetheless, that spicy scent fills your mind. Your body shivers, but from warmth within instead of the breeze without. You get a better look at her eyes now, as she slowly releases her cold, smooth hand from yours. Little flecks of golden light in those eyes, amid the purple. The look draws you in. She tosses her hair, pushing the bang that keeps falling forward over one eye out of the way, letting you get a good look. She doesn't say anything more, just slowly backs up. You bring your other hand over and rub your thumb across the spot she kissed on the back of your hand, and you notice that it's a bit reddened. She left a mark, a hickey, with the suction of her smooching caress. She's wearing comfortable brown double-knotted running shoes, a slightly contrary detail to the alluring dress. She has a pair of long purple and black striped stockings that start just above the knee. When she reaches the balcony railing, she carefully leans back against it. She opens that purse, pulls out her glasses, slips them on. You feel it's a bit easier to move your legs, and you use that ability to back up from the door. She elegantly flicks her legs side saddle to the other side of the balcony. You should close those doors. She lowers the glasses. You see the purple red of her eyes focused on you. No telling what you might catch. She doesn't really jump or float or fly, just steps away from the edge of the balcony, slides over the railing, and then she's out of sight. You somehow know she did not fall. Instead, she is gone. Reaching out, you close the door automatically, a last command resonating in your mind. And still you see her when you close your eyes, and you conjure a throb, throb, throb of horny pleasure in your body and your mind. Your hands find the door's latch and slide it home, bolting it. You observe the little reddened circle where she kissed your hand, turning, walking back to the bed. You still feel the cool grip of her on your hand and on your wrist. Thoughts of her fill your mind as the coverlet is pulled back and you slip below, as your hands slide over your own body, feeling how all of you is energized and a little startled in light of that visit. Still, the window's locked now, right? The thrill remains. And you know you'll be leaving those doors open the next few nights, up until you leave, just to see what happens. Seeing what you catch, indeed. A dangerous and enticing thought, but surely no one would complain at the idea of you leaving them open. After all, this is the third floor and it's your own domain. Pulling the blankets a little closer, you feel your brain's arousal response peak, flooding your body with commands each time your mind drifts back to the looming impression of those purple eyes. A glow cut across your consciousness, a shuddering curse of pleasure, condemning you to perhaps take care of your urges. Or maybe you'll wait until the next time she visits and see just how neighborly people around here can be. You wonder about the rumors she mentioned, but she seems the type who likes to present a surprise. So why not let yourself be surprised? These and other thoughts arrive unbidden as your closed eyes let you observe your mental image of her again, and your body occasionally thrills with arousal that seems to spark from the back of your hand, up the nerves in your arm, right to the pleasure center of your brain, inducing a profoundly turned-on need that is fun to think about, and perhaps even more fun to give in to. But you know that she's promised an opportunity to see her again, implying that if you leave your window open, if you come to this place once more, she might help to finish what her kiss has started in you.